Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praising before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And happy Easter. Happy Risen Day. Happy Resurrection Day. Happy Peeps Day. No, not Peeps Day. But anyway, no further ado. So what we're going to do is going to hop right on into the word of the day, because we have a lot to cover today. So
definitely do have a lot to cover. For starters, you already know I had a mouthful to say just to start the show about today not being the Easter Bunny Day, nor Go Find Eggs Day or Chocolate Day or the little M&Ms in the bunny suit day. It's none of that. Today is a day, and it's a holy day for us because it is the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not Jose, not Zeus. Not any guy that you can come up with, not Lamborghini, Jesus Christ. And it's a special day. So with that being said, the scripture that we're going to touch bases on, I really want you to have a true understanding of why this day is so important. The scripture comes from 1 Corinthians 15:17, and it says, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. My pastor touched the scripture earlier today, and it inspired me to go even deeper for the show. The thing about it is, when he's saying futile, really think about that. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, then that faith that you have, that I have, that we all have, is pointless. It need be. It's nothing. For what? And to tell you how important, how crucial this is, I really, the Lord showed me the scripture that I want people to really understand. And I'm kind of flipping pages. It's Matthew 27:45-46. And it says, now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? So at this point in time, Jesus is on the cross. Now, prior to this, what happened? Jesus took our sin. Jesus became sin for us. He was beaten severely. Scholars, as well as biblical knowledge, shows us that he was beaten so bad that he couldn't even be recognized. Can you imagine that? In innocence, you being beat so bad, you get spit on, slapped, and beaten with whips and all kind of things to the point where nobody can even recognize you. You're almost beyond human recognition. Like, you don't even seem to be human anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point forward, when Jesus, this is what was so crucial. Mind you, the whole time through the Bible, up until this point, you hear Jesus, every time Jesus prayed to God, God hears him. God hears him. He says, whenever I pray to my Father, he hears me. But at this point in time, Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is saying that because God had literally turned his back on him because Jesus became sin for us. Jesus was not used to not being able to communicate with the Father, but his sacrifice for us. Like, really, really think about how Jesus had a perfect relationship with God. And just for us, he became sin. And whenever we are in sin, we are separated from God. So Jesus became sin. And this right here is a confirmation showing that God had turned his back on him for our sake because he became sin. Then, as you know, he died to the grave, defeated death, and he rose on this day today. So I say that to say that if these events didn't take place, then our faith and all the stuff that we're going through is pointless. It's futile. It means nothing. So we keep in mind that our Savior, this day is not a day, a religious holiday. This day is a holy day. This day should be a true remembrance of God's love for us. So, like, this is I'm actually, to be on this show, I'm actually happy. I'm going into the show today, I'm actually excited and happy because I've had a chance to really review my life, to really think about all the mistakes that I've made. Because if we were an Old Testament covenant, I would be dead now. You know, it's like, and then a lot of us could be dead now. You were stoned. If you really read your Bible, you were stoned if you were a disobedient child. If you were caught having sex, fornication, all that, stoned. God's wrath on us, period, from that when they were disobedient to God, when they had idol gods. And nowadays, our idol gods have become cars, money, jewelry, ourselves, clothing, material things, other people, all kinds of things we use to substitute God's place. So with that being said, it's like if we were still under that covenant, God's wrath would have wiped us out. But when Jesus died for us, not only did he die for us, but he brought us into the covenant as Gentiles because originally he came for the Jews, but the Jews rejected him. Therefore, he brought us in. So all of us. It's not just a black thing, a white thing, or whatever you want to call it, a Jewish thing, a Catholic. It's all of us have the right to salvation because of what God becoming man did for us. Because you got the Godhead, which is the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. God the Son came down for us and wrapped himself in flesh so he can relate to us. You remember before we talked about this on the show, how Jesus was tempted in every angle. So there's nothing that we've been through that Jesus ain't been through or can relate to us on. So he came down here so he can relate to us in every single way. Then died for us for something he didn't do, something we did, just so we can have a relationship with God the Father. Not only that, when he left, when he rose, he brought the Holy Spirit, came down to be our comforters. So everything that Jesus did on earth, we can do. That's why he's in the Bible. It says we can do greater works. We can do greater works because the same Holy Spirit that was in him, we have now. And not only that, the greater works comes in because Jesus had direct communication with God. He saw God. He knew God. We don't necessarily see God like that. We didn't come down from heaven and we're living on earth. So we are believing and we didn't get to see. So look at the greater works that we have in us. To have faith on something we haven't even seen yet, to believe in something that we don't necessarily know is going to happen yet, but God is real. So with that being said, I just want you to really grasp that this day is far more than just a religious holiday and far more than just a day to get dressed up, far more than a day than just to look for eggs and far more than just a time or a break from work. This day is a special holy day that means so much more to us than just a calling card.
Absolutely. Boy, you hit it on the head right there. It's nothing else. Oh, I do have something to say about the material and all that.
Definitely.
Okay, and this is true stuff here. I was at the dollar store the other day, right beside the chocolate eggs. There was a chocolate cross. A chocolate cross. Who's eating chocolate crosses? Chocolate cross? Come on.
No, I can't call it. I never had one.
Chocolate cross? Come on, man. I was like, are you serious? Somebody's buying it. Somebody sat at the table, the merchandising table, to put that up and say, hey, Oh, we need some chocolate eggs. Some, give me some of the chocolate bunnies. Yeah, yeah. Oh, some Peeps. Oh, look at this. They got chocolate crosses. And you put it on your shelf. That's pretty bad.
I mean, I can't call it, I guess. I mean, whatever sells, right?
You said what?
I said whatever sells.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the unfortunate part. All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You hear it. You heard it first here on the Covenant Cafe. Not heard it first, but you heard it here. Now, the mouthful that we have. So, okay, which way, which direction you want to go? You want to go ahead and handle this? The world news right now?
Before we go into news, we can talk about your experience Friday or Saturday night. Saturday night?
Oh yeah, Saturday.
Talk about the Saturday night, and then we can get into the show.
All right. Well, as you guys know, I'm an actor / writer, director, playwright.
Oh, don't say it. So don't sound so belittled. You totally say that. I want you to re-say that again. What are you again? Because I didn't hear you, and I don't think they heard you either.
Actor / writer, director / playwright, screenwriter.
Mm.
And I went to see one. Actually, we went to Man Poetic Justice from the I Got Something to Say show on the Hour Network. We went
shout out to D-Slate.
Huh?
So shout out to D-Slate. I had to throw that in like a commercial.
And we went to go interview Shirley Murdoch.
Mm.
And what's interesting about that, because we were going to put it on video, but we just didn't have enough time, so very conversation off the record type deal. But anyway, you know how some celebrities, they talk to so many people, and then when you say your name, they're like, what? Where are you from again? I said, my person from the Covenant Cafe, she just started smiling. So she remembered the conversations that we had on the show. And then I asked her that $1 million question. I said, hey, and don't forget our $1 million question. Can you fry chicken? And she said, boy, you know what I told you, right? So it was a pleasure just to talk to in person. And for her to remember.
Yeah.
Which was fascinating for me. Because, you know, like I said, you know, she's a legend. You know, I know she does a ton of interviews.
Mm-hmm.
But to remember was great. I was able to meet Miguel Nunez, the one that plays Juana Man. he's a character, as well as Wendy Raquel. There it is.
Gotcha.
Very down to earth. This young lady, she's the one that played on Steve Harvey's show, as well as she's playing on The Game on BET. You can catch her.
Okay. Now what are you talking about? Okay.
Miss Tasha Mika, I think that's her character. The one that the mother, the cougar.
Yeah.
Yes. Very down to earth, very pleasant to talk to. It's just interesting when you get to somebody. I haven't had a bad encounter. Actually, I have years ago when I met. I don't know if you even remember the show. There's a show called Rock.
Yes.
Okay. You remember he's the trash guy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think Charles Dutton. I think his name is.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
We met the father at Busch Gardens. And what happened was, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife, we saw him. So he's like, yo, he looked familiar, right? I was like, oh, that's the guy that played the father on the show, you know, Rock. So I was like, you know, didn't you play the father on the show? And he was before I before I finished my statement, he cut me off so rudely.
Mm.
I have a name. I'm not just a grandfather that was on Rock. You know, it was just like that. It wasn't those words verbatim. Listen, it wasn't those words verbatim. So I want people to be like, oh, that's what he actually said. Mm. But it was I'm paraphrasing, but it was along those lines. Very rude, very upset type, you know. And that's like the only bad encounter I've ever had with like a celebrity. But most recently, I haven't had any bad encounters. Like I said, Shirley Murdoch, sweetheart. Miss Wendy, sweetheart. Miguel, he's a nut. He's hilarious. Now, the show that they were doing, with the title of it was "If a Man Don't Work, a Man Won't Eat."
Mm.
So you know what kind of play that was.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Broadway play, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not dissing it, but you know, it was your gospel stage play with the message,
right?
With the singing. It was a wonderful. Actually, you know, it had its moments. I just want us to get to a point as playwrights. I mean, and I have to come to understanding. That's just what we do. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's our form of entertainment, and I don't even knock it anymore. Because before I used to knock it real hard. I'm like, man, this is retarded. I'm tired of this. But I mean, that's just our market. But you know, that's just our market. I'm not playing a race card, but just as musicals are for European Americans, you know, we don't typically go to a musical unless it's like The Wiz. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
sure.
I kind of break it down to like, okay, that's our form of musical, you know. You know, we're not going to go see Singing in the Rain and things of that nature. Some of us will, but most of us won't. So these are plays that's catered to us, you know, Chitlin' Circuit style. And I actually had a friend actually that was in the play as well. So it was a interesting play. It has its ups and downs. But I did talk to her again about the play that I wrote, and she was like, okay, contact me. Contact my guy here. And so she's open to it, so which is good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, so definitely a good experience. And like I said, you know, I just kind of stopped complaining about the Chitlin' Circuit place, and I just kind of settled with that's just what we do, you know. The particular piece that I have is actually dealing with relationships and autism.
Mm.
I have a co-writer, and she has, and it's amazing how people feel your vibe when you work with someone. I mean, just like you and I, we working together, and we have this, you know, this vibe. And like my writer that's helping me write this project, I've worked with her, and I've known her for a good while, for about 4 or 5 years now. But still, when you put something in someone's hands, although you know them, they might not always take it in the right direction. And when I say this sister took the pages that I left her and ran with it, man, this play, and I'm not just saying it because we're going to be producing this joke, but it's going to be a phenomenal project, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys what it's about. well, it's about the direction of the typical stage plays now, but I had to stop because I didn't want that, and I had the concept, and I just couldn't develop it into the way I wanted. And then once I contacted her, she just took it and made it. So what happened is, you have a husband and wife. the husband is always on the road. He's an actor, trying to, you know, going to auditions and stuff like that. And his wife is, you know, pretty much at home. And they have a child. They don't know he's autistic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's having all these breakdowns and emotional outcries and stuff like that. And she has the evil, no good friend who actually, like, you know, okay, so she gets her to go out while he's on the road. But she doesn't cheat on her husband.
Mm-hmm.
She finds she can start to confide in another guy. He and the therapist. So she's actually getting information from him to help the child.
Okay.
So what happens is the husband end up, you know, coming back and kind of feeling some type of way that this guy, she's, you know, she's cheating on him. So they go through a separation. And what happened is throughout this play, you know, she's, you know, pretty much dealing with the child by herself because he's always on the road going to auditions. And this is going to be my big break, so they have those type of issues. And what happened is the child ended up dying. But they end up finding out he has autism, and the child ended up getting sick and dying at the end. So, and after that, after the child dies, they end up coming back together. Thus the title, Till Death Do Us Part. I can't tell you how he died, so I don't want to spoil the ending. This is like spoiler alert type deal, but you guys going to forget about it. But it's like I said, it's going to be a good project, man. And also I have another project with a writer by the name of Vincent Ellis White, and he wrote a book called Finding Chris, My Father. He didn't find his father until he was 27. And then converted that into a stage play. So it's some stuff out there that's going to be in the stages.
I like how your play, it touched on something that's real, that happens often, but people don't really speak on it too much. And it's been a concern of mine, you know, being an artist or being just, or even somebody that's in business, that's seriously in business, being in an entertainment field, any kind of business that where you are traveling so much and you being faithful, but you have to leave your wife and your kids behind.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that I don't think there's enough people really talking to people like both on both spouses, the wife and the husband, or enough messages out there saying like, okay, this is what you should do to cope with why your man is gone or why your woman is gone or while you are on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would love to see more of that, because a lot of times you see the same old, like, okay, he's busy working business. He's gone so much. She gets lonely. She cheats on him, or he's on the road so much that he cheats on her, and she's being faithful to the kids, and he's cheating, or vice versa. Like, while he's on the road working, bringing in the money, she's lonely and she's cheating. And you rarely see anything that's talking about, you know what? Okay.
Wait, hang tight. We do have a caller on the line. Hold on, let's go. Caller, you're on the air at the Covenant Cafe.
Yeah, this is real. How you doing?
What's going on, real?
Are you really here?
Real is here in the building. That man.
Yeah, how y'all?
That man stepped into the building. What's going on?
I'm good. How you doing? I'm excited to be on.
We good here. I'm Lamont Ferguson, one of the hosts, and Poetic is going to be doing an interview. So he's going to dig into some good stuff.
Let's get it. Before we even get started, Lamont, I would definitely love it if you can give our guests a special gift.
Oh, he wanted a special gift.
Yes, sir.
Okay, hey, this is a... That's a pleasant group.
I appreciate that.
right, Real. Now, you know, first and foremost, I definitely want to start out by commending you as a man of God. It's always an honor. I say this all the time because I mean it. It's always an honor to be able to speak to a man of God, especially a soldier that's on the battlefield, man. So definitely commending you and encouraging you to continue to pursue realness.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Definitely. And so let's get to the interview now. I'm going to pretend like I never met you in person. I never heard your music. I didn't read your bio. I don't know nothing about you. And we don't know nothing about you. I ain't even tweet or promote you on Facebook. I ain't say nothing. So with that being said,
okay.
Who is Real?
All right. Well, Real, my real name is Bobby Montgomery III. All right. I was born to Kathy Bobby Montgomery. I was born in East St. Louis, Illinois. And my parents actually moved me and my two older brothers down to Atlanta, Georgia, when I was like 9 or 10 years old. East St. Louis is a rough area. Still, right now it's still a rough area. And then it was a rough area. So they wanted to move us out of that environment and move us to a nicer area down South Georgia, ATL bound. So, you know, anyway, I was raised in a church, and I grew up in the church, and just seeing my mom and dad, you know, walk for God and stuff like that. But when we got to Atlanta, it just seemed like it was so much freedom and stuff down there where we were, I mean, kind of like able to just do more things. And by the time I was, you know, maybe 14 or 15, you know, I got introduced to the more drugs and chasing women and seeing a lot of people just making easy money. And, you know, I just got to the point where I got sick of working fast food and working a regular jobs and just seeing so much. So, you know, I got to selling drugs, and I got to a point where I ended up getting kicked out of high school. At freshman year, got kicked out of high school. I ended up getting locked up at like 17 years old, you know, possession of drugs, firearm, and certain things just started going downhill when I chose not to walk for God the way I knew God was calling me. And while I was in jail, you know, I'm sitting there in jail, and I prayed to God, and I said, God, you know, you let me out of here. When I get out, I'll write rhymes for you. I'll do what you're telling me to do. And did a couple of months or a few months in jail, and I just got out. You know, they just let me out. I didn't have a bail. I didn't have a lawyer. I didn't have anything. All I know is that the guards just was like, Montgomery, it's time for you to pack your bags and go. So I took that as God, you know, let me out. And the same day I got out, I end up selling drugs again. The same day, I called my friend up. I said, hey, I need some work.
Excuse me.
And I got back to selling and grinding again, you know. And maybe a couple of months went past, and I end up getting robbed with a gun put to my head. And the whole time, you know, I don't know if y'all familiar, but, you know, I'm selling crack cocaine. And the crackhead, you know, came to me and was talking to me, and we started arguing about, you know, the dope and this, that, and the other, how much he was willing to pay, how much I was willing to give him. So anyway, we riding in the car discussing this thing, and since I had just got out, you know, I'm thinking that maybe I just caught a sale case, you know, this was an undercover or whatever. So we parked, he put the gun to my head. And the only thing I could think about, since I knew about God and I knew about the devil, I knew about church and stuff like that, the only thing I could think while I was holding a gun to my head was, I said out loud, just like I'm talking to you. I wasn't screaming and yelling. I was just like I'm talking to you. I said, God, if you real, I said, forgive me right now, because I know if I die, I'm going straight to hell. So while this guy was holding a gun to my head, he got real mad at me, got so angry at me. And I asked him, I said, who are you? And he said, I could be a jacker, I could be an undercover, or I could be sent. That's why he's still holding a gun. So I'm like, at that point, I'm thinking, this is some kind of spiritual encounter that I'm having right now. And this was after being high and drunk, after that's going on, I was sober at that time. So
yeah.
I was super sober, you know. So anyway, he's still holding a gun to my head, and that's when he told me, he said, you better be glad that God forgave you because I was going to kill you. And he said, if I ever see you out there selling drugs again, I'm going to kill you. So he still took my jewelry, my shoes, my money, my dope. But I felt the peace of God in that car where I knew he couldn't take my soul. And he just looked, I don't know if you ever seen a man or a woman or somebody who's in rage where they just so angry, they ready to murder somebody or kill somebody, or you face to face with just death. That was the look that came out of his face. I mean, his eyes were just jet black, you know. He just looked so angry that I repented. And he was like, get out my car, get out my car. You just met the devil. I got out of his car, you know, I went to the house, and, you know, the whole time I'm out there selling drugs, you know, you got your grandmama, you got your mama, daddy, you know, you got people praying for you. From time to time, sometimes I would even have my brother come through the hood, try to talk to me. Sometimes I used to run from him, though, because I didn't want to hear the word. But, you know, so from that experience, you know, that is what birthed Real, because Real was not just a title, but it was me having a real encounter with the devil and his hate and how much he hates people, and a real encounter with God's forgiveness, his mercy, his grace, and his love. And I stuck with the name Real because I just want people to realize and know that when I come with this music and stuff like that, I'm not looking down on them, but it's a reality of eternity. When we leave this place, we're going to end up in heaven or we're going to end up in hell. And that's really where Real came from. And, you know, after I, you know, went through that, and I began to start feeling like I needed to get back in God and stuff. You know, even a couple of months, you know, I'm still out there, but I couldn't hardly sell any dope. The only thing I could do is just smoke weed. It was hard for me to sell dope even after that experience. And then eventually, you know, I went to a church my parents was going to. I was smoked out. Just all you could smell is Joe on my clothes. You know, just straight up weed. And I sat through the service the whole time, didn't buzz, just sat there. And when the man of God got through talking, I knew. I got up and I went up on the altar and bowed down. And that's when I made it official that it's time to do this thing for real. And I was like maybe 19 at the time. You know, but, you know, I went back to school. I, you know, got my GED, went to college, community college, got an associate's degree. You know, I was on probation for 3 years. After that, then I went to the Navy, you know, did about 8 years in the Navy. The Navy actually was, brought me to Jacksonville, Florida. So that's why I'm here now. But that's where Real actually was birthed from, just a lot of circumstances and just different things that I've seen right there.
That's a pretty deep story.
Very deep, and you know, it's
a testimony.
What's also amazing about it, you hit so many of my questions on the head. Like, one of my favorite questions is always asking about the testimony to let people know who are in the urban communities that there's more than what they see and more than what they are doing, and for you to come forth with just being real. That's your name. No pun intended. But just being real and straight up saying that I used to smoke, I used to sell dope. I used to be out there, and I was locked up. But now I'm boldly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. That opens people's eyes, and I'm thanking you for sharing your testimony, because each week we have new listeners that's coming in, and they're just hoping for something. And to share that real testimony is a blessing. So instead of me asking my traditional question, I'm going to go ahead and veer this to another way. When it comes down to real, because a lot of times artists have a difficulty choosing names or who they should be, or, you know, some go with gimmicks, some goes with personalities, egos, like so many people go out the way. What gave you your confirmation saying your name is supposed to be real as an artist?
Well, actually,
Outside of the testimony,
like I say, I wrestled with that name for a while because, you know, so many people, you know, you hear real, there's be real, you hear for real. I mean, there's a lot of people who got that name. But the more and more, you know, because I was always rapping, but I never really had, like, a real stage name. But the more and more I rapped and shared my testimony, people, man, you just real. You just real, man. That's real, you know. Ed Tonic, that's real, man. You just authentic. You real, man. And, you know, before you know it, I'm like, man, you know, I'm just keep it simple. You know, I ain't trying to get this name that's just shining and all this. I'm like, man, my name's going to be real. I'm going to keep it simple. I know there's a lot of other people named Real and Be Real and stuff like that, but I feel like this was my thought. I say, but if God, me allowing God to continue to use me and continue God's power to flow through me, and when people see miraculous things happening through the anointing and the power of God, that's what's going to separate me from the other packs, you know, by people being able just to experience the realness, the power, and the anointing of God flowing through. You know what I mean? It's like a real, not just in a music aspect, but like this is a real ministry, you know.
Right.
And it's not just entertaining and making people feel good, man. I'm in it trying to, I want to see people saved, you know. When I get through rapping, you know, I'm up here laying hands. I want to pray for people, you know what I'm saying? I want to see people get healed. You know,
absolutely.
Demons crying out of folks. You feel me? So,
Now the song that you have, that we have, Without You, can you tell us some about that song before we get into it?
Yes, I will. Yes, sir. I had an album, my first album I dropped in 2010. It was called In Pursuit. And after listening to Pursuit, and, you know, Pursuit was about, you know, chasing souls, and it was about more of a testimonial introduction of who Real is. And with this new song, it's more like me just reflecting on a person who doesn't have Jesus Christ in their life. I actually wrote this in a way of how it is to be in hell on earth, which there is a hell after earth, but just a depiction of a person going through life without God, you know, without no peace, how I felt before I had Christ in my life. You know, I didn't have no peace. I had no joy. You know, I my hopes were stolen. I didn't have anything. I was empty on the inside. There was just so many aspects that I felt being without God. And not only being without God before I accepted God, but even during the times where I fell from grace, where I sinned, walking the Christian walk, and how you feel when you just missed the mark. You feel just depressed and oppressed and just burdened. And so I wanted to write that to even try to relate more to people who might be going through that right now. To let them know, hey, there is a way out. I mean, you might be feeling this way right now. You might be at this point right now. But Jesus can lift you out of it. And
amen.
That's the first verse. And the second verse was just pretty much talking about the triumph in accepting Christ and what's the mission, what's the goal, you know.
Okay.
That's,
so we're gonna get into the song. And you hang tight, so once we come out in time, we're going to come right back to you so you can give us all your information, your Facebook, and all how people can catch up with real. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. So no problem. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Real, and the name of the track is Without You here on the cover of that.
Lord. There's been so many things that I've been through. And I know you brought me through them all. I wouldn't even be here today if it wasn't for you. Lord.
Speak the Real, you definitely can call in at 718-766-4553. Again, 718-766-4553. Now, Real, definitely we feeling you. So we want to know how we can support you and what we can do to just keep track of you, go to your shows, buy your music. Do you have any websites, Twitter, Facebook? What are the links to all your stuff so we can get out there and support you?
Okay, yeah. I got that song right there, Without You, is actually on iTunes as a single. It's Real Without You on iTunes. I have stuff. My Facebook page is Real Pursuit. I have a Twitter. Twitter is Real Pursuit on Twitter. I'm always tweeting my next shows. I'm always just putting out a whole bunch of information about what I'm doing. I got my first album, which is Real In Pursuit. That's on iTunes also. Just Real In Pursuit. And I have that on CD Baby, www.cdbaby.com/Real In Pursuit. You can get in contact with me. Email address, montyg_1@yahoo.com. You want to email me or even call me. You need to talk, you need to book me, 904-382-1231. Like I say, if y'all want to check out a couple of my videos, got videos on YouTube. One video is for In Pursuit, it's Real In Pursuit, official music video. The other one is Real Come Around, official music video. And, you know, just be looking out because I got another video that I'll be shooting April 13th for this song, Without You. And I'll be tweeting that on Twitter. I'll be putting it on Facebook. I'll be shooting it out every way I can. So that's pretty much it right there.
Good stuff. All right, hold the line. Hold on 1 second. They're going away. We do have a caller. Caller, you're on the air at the Covenant Cafe.
All right. Praise God. This is Pastor Bobby of Kingdom of God Ministry, and we were listening to the broadcast with Real, and I was just calling. Yeah, and I was just calling to try to encourage Brother Real and let him know that we're supporting him in every aspect of his work. We want to say that we know that he's truly blessed and anointed of God, and his songs are more, how you say, prophetic. They are anointed, and they have a unique message. And we're trying to get some venues here in Atlanta, Georgia, to try to help and assist them in any way. But we want to encourage him to continue in that and the best way I can say this is to be encouraging the Lord and to continue to follow after the leading of God and His Spirit.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate that, you know. And I really need a lot of encouragement. I mean, you know, when you're trying to keep it real and original, you got so many people and so much stuff come to your head, how easy it is just to compromise. And, you know, my main focus is just to be the way that the man of God walked in the Bible, you know, New Testament, Old Testament. They didn't compromise. And these days, you know, you see a lot of that. And my main focus is just continue to keep me lifted up in prayer that I can continue to be real the way God intended us to be. And I could write the songs and everything I need to do without being a copycat of the world. You know what I mean? So I really appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you and be blessed.
Thanks for calling in.
Well,
thanks for calling.
All right.
Awesome. Bye. Encouragement.
Glory to God. Look at that. Look at that. So,
yeah, we
ain't got time for you to quit. Straight up.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that. We have a lot at stake, a lot of lives at stake, especially this young generation. So, real. Keep it real. Keep being real.
That's
keep
great.
Pressing forward.
Glory to God. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So before we let you go, I definitely have to ask you the million-dollar question.
Uh-oh. Here it is.
The million-dollar question is, can you, or should I say, do you know how to cook fried chicken?
Okay, and you know what? Before you do that, we definitely got to drop the bomb on you. Okay, now can you cook chicken?
I like to say a little bit, but I'll leave that to my wife. I'll let my wife cook it.
Okay. And you know what? You know what? And for the honesty, he gets it.
At least somebody can do it in your household. So we ain't,
yeah.
I ain't tripping.
Yeah. You got to have chicken in the household.
That's absolutely funny. Yeah, so we definitely appreciate you calling in, bro. I mean, like I said, keep your head up. You know, we've all, you know, have our testimonies, you know, to let people know where we come from, where we stand, you know, where we've been and where we're going. And I think that is, we've always talked about this on the show. My biggest pet peeve is where people act as if they have always been holier than thou. And, you know, and you may say some things around a person like, oh, my God, oh, God, oh, oh.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, just keep your head up. I mean, because, like I said, we have to go beyond the box that we are in, and our typical churchgoers will, you know, like, oh, my God, his name is real. What is he going to say? I mean, we're not ready for that type of I mean, come on now. You know, so
yeah.
You keep it real and you let them know what is the situation. This is,
yeah.
This is not Little Weezy. This is not, you know, these other cats that come from, like Tupac, he came from, you know, a school of arts. You know, so a lot of these kids
right,
got
right.
degrees in education, but they're putting on an act. And what you've been through is the truth. And when you can communicate that to the youth and like, look, dude, you acting like this guy. Have you been out here? No, I live home with my mom. I live with my grandma. Okay, they cook for you? Yeah. You know how to fight for your food? No. Okay, I know what it's like to be out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that touches, that reaches the kids, because like I work with kids, and on all levels, I substitute and I work in a group home. And my thing that I've seen a lot growing up in Detroit, literally seen a lot. I wasn't a hustler. I'm not gonna front. Like, yeah, I've been out there on the streets slinging. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It, no.
Right.
You know, so I'm not. You know, just being realistic with them, letting them know. I've seen dead bodies. You know, coming from the store in the field. You know, I've witnessed stuff like that. I witnessed domestic abuse. I witnessed a lot of stuff in my life that I could share with kids. Like, look, dude, if you got it good at home, being honest, not being mad at your mom because you can't go out, hang out with your friends at night, you know, whatever. Being realistic, you know what I mean? So it's important to share that part of you because it happened. You know what I mean? So people learn from other people. As long as you learn from your mistakes, it's not, you know.
Yeah.
Just like you said, the first time you were in jail, and you said you went right back to the same thing. But then when that situation came with that gun, you was like, okay, look, this is not a joke. I'm out of here. You know what I mean? So God bless you, bro. And definitely keep your head up. Definitely do that.
I appreciate that. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. All right, appreciate it. You had anything else for him, Paul?
That's it, bro.
All right, we appreciate you calling in and taking the time on this Easter Sunday. And don't eat too many deviled eggs.
I'm trying to get some cake. Thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to another opportunity. And God bless, and y'all continue to be encouraged also.
Amen. All right, have a good evening.
All
right. Uh-oh. All right, that was real. I mean, that dude, man, wow. Can you say wow? He's been through a lot, definitely a lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is go ahead and get into a song. Jay Moss, Good and Bad, here on the Covenant Cafe.
Oh, I love this song.
You loved me through my good. You loved me through my bad. You loved me through my good. And you loved me through my bad, Jesus. You didn't erase my future. Because of my past, I'm glad you loved me through my good and my bad. Through my good and my bad, you loved me through my good, you loved me through my bad. Didn't erase my future. Hallelujah. Because of my past. Thank you. I'm glad you loved me through my good and my bad.
You loved me through my good and my bad.
So glad you loved me.
You loved me through my good.
Never took your love away.
You loved me through my bad.
Didn't write me off.
Of
I even did some things I know you despise, God.
You love me through my good
and my bad. Yeah.
You love me through my good and my bad.
God, I know sometimes we make you ashamed.
You love me through my good.
Thank you for never giving us what we deserve.
You love me through my bad.
After falling. Every blessing and request that you granted, Lord.
Because of my past.
You could have withheld, but mercy intervened.
You loved me through my good.
Through the rebellion.
You loved me through my good.
Through all of my shortcomings.
You loved me through my good.
And this is my favorite right here. You keep on loving me. Can somebody help me? You keep on, loving me. You keep on loving me. You keep right on loving me. Through the good and the bad, you never stop loving me. Through the lessons learned, you show me. We disobey, we run away from you. Bring shame to your name, but your love remains. Who can love me like you do, Lord? What you are to me, no man could ever be. You see through every mistake, through every stumble. You prove to your children you'll always be there. Through every slip, all my good and my bad. You love me through my good and through my bad. Oh, didn't erase my future 'cause of my past. I'm glad you love me through my good and bad.
Wow.
That song is so dope, dog.
Come
so
on,
dope.
Man.
So dope.
Man. But what I was saying earlier, man, he has a testimony like none other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Props to that brother just for pursuing, just getting out of that hustle, that grind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so easy to get stuck in because that's what you know.
True.
That's what you know. I know we didn't get into our world news, so we want to go ahead and hop into that before our next caller calls in.
Yeah. Mm. let's get this popping. This is something that, you know, a lot of conspiracy theorists talk about, and even a lot of artists, even just everybody talks about this. And I believe that some people have became fools by this. Well, let me get into it because I'm kind of leading y'all on. So for starters, rapper allegedly tried to sacrifice friend to join the Illuminati.
What?
Let's get this popping, y'all. And I'd love to hear y'all feedback on this one. So aspiring MCs are always looking for effective angles to rise higher in the industry. But one Virginia rapper's approach may put him behind bars instead of in front of the lights. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reported last week that 27-year-old Wali Shabir Amin, all right, probably missed your name, but I'm so sorry, of Henrico County, Virginia, attempted to offer his friend as a sacrificial lamb to the Illuminati. El Amin apparently believed a blood sacrifice was needed in order to spark his rap career.
Wow.
Now, I've read this article, and I was very amused. I'm not amused because this is dangerous. Like, I'm not amused, like, haha, that's funny, I can't believe it happened. More like, it kind of tickled me because it's true. It's true. A lot of artists are trying to find some kind of way to get in front of the limelight. Now, me being a gospel artist, I encounter fellow gospel artists as well as secular artists who would do whatever it takes. And we become prostitutes once we get that mind frame. When I say prostitutes, we become prostitutes like we're willing to compromise our gifts, our talents, our word, our beliefs for the almighty dollar, which is terrible. I want to give a little more on this story, which I didn't cover. So the guy, what he tries to do is shoot his friend. And he misses, and his friend, he shoots his friend in the hand. And what happened was his friend overpowered him after being shot, overpowered him and grabbed the gun, ran, threw it off, and ran away, actually, and got away. And so his friend survived. This is his, not only was this his friend's, but they reported that this was his best friend. They grew up together. So the thing that's so funny is that, not even funny, but that we've talked about before about how your heart, you know, the Bible speaks about your heart is where your treasure is. So if your treasure is on earth, so that's where your heart will be. So I say that to say that his God has become the money. And you look what his God told him he needs to do. He felt that in order to become famous or to get money, whatever which one was the motive, he was going to have to kill his friend. That's demonic.
Wow.
That's just straight up, there's nothing out of the picture. Like, there's no, you know, he's just stupid, Illuminati guy. I don't know, it's demonic. Because one of all, he's seeking, after hearing all the stuff about the Illuminati, like, real talk, we've heard it all. We've heard that they're by your soul. You know, in exchange for your soul, you get fame, fortune. Also, we heard that if you get somebody killed and you get a chance to be famous. And we've heard so many stories. And for him to hear those stories and say, you know what? That's a good idea.
Mm.
It lets you know of the times that we were in, the times that we're in, and this is not something to play with. Though the Illuminati, quote-unquote, may not have told him that he needed to do that to join, In some sense, the devil did tell him to do that. His flesh told him to do that. The wicked desires of his heart told him to do that. His leaning to his own understanding told him to do that. Drugs told him to do that, because it did mention that he does drugs, but I'm not throwing that out there as if that is the blame. Mm-hmm. But these are all the factors that if we're not careful, we have our hearts, if we have our treasure, if our heart is with our treasure, and our treasure here is on earth, the material things, the idol gods that we always speak about on every show, look mm-hmm. what kind of ignorant things you do. And now the funny thing is, I'm saying it's ignorant, but in his mind, that might have been the smartest, wisest thing he's done since he's been born.
Wow.
That's what happens when we lean to our own understanding. Blessed is he that seeks counsel from the godly. So not only is it that, does it you know that your own mind can enslave you. You can become a slave to your mind, because something that's a great idea to you, that's really wise, and I'm not just talking about this story, but it could be anything, even a business venture. You know what? I'm going to come up with the first cigarette. Yeah, you can smoke it with tobacco in it. And if somebody said, well, you know, tobacco already got that on law. What are you talking about? No, it's a good idea. Like, I gave that metaphor, that example, to show how
I
that.
The chocolate crosses. Use that one. I'm going to use that one.
In our own minds, we are the smartest things. When we lean to our own understanding, that is the beginning of our destruction. So sure. Just as dumb as me trying to reinvent tobacco, which was already invented, or me just as dumb as me trying to reinvent air. Mm. Yeah. I mean, this is a new kind of air. I'm going to breathe it and I'm going to inhale it. So it's going to come out of my lungs, you know. So the carbon dioxide is going to become oxygen. Like, bro, you stupid. Like, talk to somebody before you make decisions. I think if he were to receive counsel from somebody outside of his own brain, he wouldn't be facing this time.
Absolutely. I agree.
Wow. That was definitely my share. What do you have anything to say before we move on the line?
No. No.
All right,
wow.
Well, let's keep.
Go ahead. Okay. I'm good.
Let's keep it moving. Excuse me. Now, a lot of things about people are, what I'm noticing, become kind of lazy in some sense. When I say lazy, we expect the Holy Spirit to just pick us up and to do everything. You know, mm-hmm. kind of, you know, like the people that ignore the scripture, or, you know, faith without work is dead, or, you know, how a wise man has to, you know, be using mm-hmm. wisdom. People don't like it. So this part of the news I'm basically sharing to give knowledge, and more so that it's true. We are believers, and God is our avenger, and God protects us. But thou shalt not tempt the Lord. We shall not tempt the Lord. So do not put yourself in a position of harm. I say that to say, going into this story, five places where you should never give your Social Security number. Basically, what's going on, they're saying that the amount of theft is 36,000 people are getting their security stole, Social Security number stole. Daily.
Wow.
So it's like, if you got this many people getting stole, like, what's really good? So looking into this article, these are just little nuggets for you guys. Basically, what you should not do are, you know, it sounds simple, but obviously we're not really thinking if this many people are getting robbed on a daily, yearly basis. Number one, anyone who calls or sends you an official-looking email. So don't be so quick to put your Social Security number on emails, text messages, phone calls. You really ask if it's necessary. One of the writer, he said that he went to the doctor's office, and he asked his doctor, he finally boldly said it, why do y'all need my Social Security number? And the doctor said, I don't know.
What?
So he came, huh?
The doctor said he didn't know.
The doctor responded, I don't know. This is a legit doctor's office. So it led him to dig deeper how they basically only ask it on just in case your insurance company doesn't go through, so they can hold you accountable. But it's not a necessity. So this caused him to research more of, like, we can't be so oblivious or just so dumb-minded to just give up our information just because it seems legit. Do your research before you start filling it out, because, sure enough, we're in the kingdom, but a lot of people that's in the kingdom is dealing with debts. And that comes from mismanaging. It's either mismanaging their information or not managing their money correctly or whatever it may be. But we're kingdom-minded, and we need to start being wise on our decisions on how we do and display our information. Continuing on, public schools. It says your utility bill confirms your address. So it's not needed that you give them your social. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Continuing on. Little League summer camps and things like that. Like Little League teams and summer camp. You don't have to give them your social security number. All they need is your name, your address, your phone number, your birth certificate. They don't need your social and stuff like that. You don't have to give it to them. Didn't know that as well. Supermarkets. You should not be giving your social security number to the cashier.
What?
So,
this proves not ringing up. So what is your social security number?
Not only that, even when you're now, this is the deeper part. Of course, not the cashier. But what about customer service? I need to return this item. They're requesting my social security so I can get my money back, and they need to make sure it's me.
No.
Not give them your social security number because they do not need it. Your license is good enough ID to prove that it is you and you're returning this object. Because I'm at Walmart, if you don't have your receipt, they ask for your license or they ask for your ID, your state ID. Cool. I've done it many times. But if they request my social security number, I'm going to another Walmart. I mean, that's just keeping it real. Number five, anybody who approaches you on the street. You know how many victims of Social Security theft have occurred on the streets?
Wow.
Crazy. So what we're saying is that let's be wise, like, you know, people of God, let's be wise. Yes, God is our protector. But if we keep going astray from his covenant, we're going to get robbed and murdered and killed. And that's not just physical, that's spiritual, that's mental. That's your reputation. All this stuff happens when we're not acting in the wisdom or the Holy Spirit that God had given us to think clearly.
Those people that's giving a social security number on the street, those are the people I'm going to ask to pay my mortgage.
Real talk. Like,
I just need some help with my mortgage. can you help me out? I have two kids at home. You know, it's just really rough.
Well, I mean, it's like my mom used to tell me, though. She said, if you don't ask, you don't get. She's telling me that all the time. So you never know. I'm going to just walk out to somebody like, man, my bro of mine is having problems with his mortgage. I just really ask that you just pay it off. If not pay it off, just give me some money, including your social.
Including your social. Oh, that's all you need?
That's all. Once you give me your social, I'm good.
And a blank check.
And make sure you sign it. And if you don't sign it, I can't use it. So please give me that blank check with your signature on it.
Wow.
But on a serious note, guys, let's start being wise in our decision-making. Our decision-making as far as, all our decisions. But in this topic, I'm talking about your information and who are you quick to give it to and how are you ready to display yourself. A good name is more important, is more valuable than silver and gold. Remember that. So you don't want to have a name that just because you gave your social security out that you can't keep a job, you can't keep a house, you can't keep this, you can't keep this, you just destroyed your name because you mishandled your personal information.
Wow.
Definitely please keep that in mind, people. Moving on. This is definitely a topic I didn't really get too deep in. You know what? No, I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to go into this one first, and then I'll go into that. Then we'll go into the weird news. This one is about the Texas district attorney. His wife was killed. Him and his wife was killed. The story behind it is, you know, prayers go out to them. We're taking precautions to protect the elected officials in our county, Kaufman County, Texas Sheriff David Brannis said at a news conference Sunday after district attorney Mike McKellen and his wife, Cynthia, were found dead Saturday in their homes. 2 months ago, a Texas district attorney vowed to put away the scum who had killed one of his top deputies. Now, the district attorney and his wife are dead, and authorities aren't sure whether their killing are part of a broader scheme targeting criminal justice officials. I'm really sharing this news more so first, you know, prayers and all our condolences go out to the families and those who are taking a loss. And also just to keep your eyes open to look at the plots and the moves of how busy the devil is, because look how officials are being killed off, government officials as well as regular people. Like, it's just so much news going on. I definitely wanted to share that just really quick before I go into the topic that I want your opinion on, Lamont.
Okay.
So, I don't know if everybody knows it, but North Korea has went ahead and just straight up said it that they're going to war with South Korea.
Yeah.
With that being said, there are reports going on that the U.S. is going to join in with South Korea in this battle.
Mm.
So my thing is, what is your take? And to all those listening, what is your take on how do you feel about the U.S. getting involved with this? Is this a war that we have no business dealing with? Or is it our civic duty to get involved? Please feel free to call in and share at 718-766-4553. Again, the number is 718-766-4553. But go ahead, Lamont.
Well, I look at it like this. Everything is not up for grabs as far as information when it comes to military and security. Because
right.
if it was, there would be a panic every week. You know, because, you know, they're still probably getting terrorist threats. They would still probably find terrorists in cities that you have loved ones in, you know, and if they put that information out, you know, there will be a panic.
Yeah,
no one knows why U.S. I don't know why they're deciding getting involved in that. It has to be something that is not on the surface. And even if they deliver whatever they're going to deliver us, I'm not going to believe it, because it's got to be more to than what you're just saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you looked at the past situations, 9/11, there's just so many theories behind 9/11. Some people say Bush is Bush behind the whole thing. Some people say we are owe, you know, people money. That's why they not, you know. So there's a lot of unknowns, even when we go to war. And it's always speculation, you know, from what we read, from what is given to us.
Yes, sir.
You know, you don't know if you don't read, and you really can't believe everything you read.
Sure.
You know, so even if you read and say, okay, they threaten the U.S., they threaten to kill our people, okay, how easy is it to say that if you want to go fight somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, you hear it, especially in our hoods, every day, I want to hit her. Why? Because I don't like her. Why? Huh?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like the way you're looking at me. So that's why you're going to go fight. That was just it. But overall, I mean, I think it's a very dangerous fight because of the nuclear that's involved.
Right.
You have Hawaii, Guam is right over there. And those missiles can tear up Hawaii pretty bad.
Yes.
And that stuff don't stay in one central spot. It moves through the air. So it's going to mess up those other states that's right there on the coast. You know, so it's going to be a huge mess if that happens.
Yeah.
And another thing about Korea, and I'm not condemning our military, not by far, but I'm going to go as far as to say this. With our military, I would say only 10% of the people that's in the military that's there to fight for their country. The rest of our military is in there, good job, benefit, they want to go to college, they want to get in and get out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So these are our reasons, and that's the way it's advertised as well. You know, I live in a military town, and I was actually going to join the reserves actually prior to 9/11, and because of my procrastination abilities, I don't know. I don't call that an ability, but
because
your talent at procrastinating.
Yeah, and my talent as a procrastinator. And this is a true story. Side note, I was actually approached. I was working at Circuit City, and I was approached by back in 2001. And I was approached by a recruit. And he was telling me, okay, you got your degree in communications. You can get, you could be an E, whatever, in the military, you know, really talking about all the benefits and stuff. So that whole summer, I was like, you know, he took me out to dinner. He took me out to his house. Really nice, you know, really nice guy. And he's like, okay, look, this is what you have to do for the ASVAB. And he gave me all this paperwork. And I was just like, okay, I did some of the paperwork, but I didn't take the test. And I kept procrastinating. And then, like, the week before, I called him. I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it this week, but I'll do it next Thursday, which is the Thursday after September 11th. And I called him. It was like, you know, like I said, you know, and he said, okay, that's cool. That Tuesday happened, and I was like, wow, no, I'm not doing it. And I called him and said, no, I'm not going to, you know, I changed my mind. He said, don't let this bother you, you know. They're not going to send them reserves over there. I'm like, look, I'm going in for communication. How else are you going to get communication if you don't send me over? Not just me, but, you know, are you, you know, how are you going to get the intelligence? You got to send communication over there. And lo and behold, they were sending reserves over there. Yeah. But, man, where was I going? Oh, well, like I said, with their military and their training, like our boot camps are like 8 weeks. I think the Marines is the most. I think Marines or the Navy, they go 3 months. That's the longest our boot camps last. Some of their boot camps last a year. No calling home. No contact. It's all about their military for a solid year. And when they come out, they are trained killers. Not to say that we're not, but they are trained killers. Certified. So typically when they capture you, it's going to be some problems because they're not like let's say like the Taliban. When they catch you, yeah, it's critical. They'll chop your head off. If they're trying to prove a point, but 9 times out of 10, they kind of keep you alive. That's not going to happen with Korea.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Taliban, they crazy, like I said, they will cut your head off, but most cases you've seen on the news that we've been able to go over there, talk to them, and bring our people back. That's not going to happen with Korea.
Hmm.
You can cancel that. So it's going to be a mess, and it's got to be a reason why we getting into that, to that business over there. So, yeah, long and short, that's my take on it. I mean, because, like, even if you look at our technology, I mean, we have some fantastic technology, but, like, we're trained to shoot from afar. Like, you know, we got our ships, we're going to be miles and miles and miles out at sea, shooting missiles into inland, sending drones over. Where these guys, that's, you know, what happened with, you know, fighting in Afghanistan. You know, you didn't know who you were fighting because they had kids coming up to you with bombs. What, you know, people just coming, and that's what made that war so hard. You're not going to strap a bomb to America. American for our country. You know what I mean? They're not going to, okay, no, I'll do it for you. You know, no. No, they do it in the name of their religion for over there in Iraq. They, in the name of their religion. And that's stronger than you just defending your country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, they killing people who denouncing their religion. Now, isn't that something? I mean, like, really, you say, hey, I don't want to be Muslim. I want to be Christian. You're dying.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Here, I don't want to be in a. I don't want to be in a Navy. I want to be in a Army. Well, this is the paperwork that you have to go through, and this is how long you have to wait. You see what I'm saying? You know, I want to apply for my benefits because I want to get out. Well, looking at your paperwork, you can get out next year. No, no, that's not happening.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I was watching a couple of good movies to watch. It's Zero Dark Thirty and Navy SEAL Team 6. It talks about the capture of Bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
And just to see these guys go through this, and, you know, they over there, and these people walking up to them with bombs. Like, you know, you don't know. You know, and exploding, you know. We don't have explosions over here like that.
Oof.
Yeah, I mean, if it does, it's far in between, and it's some crazy teenager who got involved in a cult. You know, so we're blessed that, you know, we have our issues here in America, you know, especially regarding race. But when it comes to walking down the street, don't have to worry about an explosion.
Right.
I mean, that's got to be frightening.
Mm.
You know, so that's a whole nother issue. But, yeah, so that's my take on it. I don't want to take up all the time there on that. But, yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of the death toll is going to be pretty high if that happens, especially in South Korea, because they're right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
So is that it for our world news?
That is our news for today.
Ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to take a break from our conversation, and we're going to go into a song, Mary, Mary, Get Up. And that'll get you in the mood to, hey, get on up. Get in the cup of the cafe. Mary, Mary. Okay, it's taking its time to load up, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe Mary Mary don't want to get up. I don't know why it's doing this right now. But it's like 16, 17 seconds into the song and it's still loading.
Mm.
Okay, what's happening here? I guess they want to hear us. Let's go. Let's see. Certainly
they want to hear. They want to hear some of that. Somebody else. Wink, wink.
Wink. Wink. Okay, you know what? I don't know what's happening with my server here. I'm going to get into a couple of things in the weird news because actually we do have a caller that's going to be calling in here shortly. So let's not do a song right now. Let's go into one of our stories with the weird news. And ladies and gentlemen, when I say weird news, I have some weird news going on here. Okay, check this out. Sean Wayne Hughes allegedly tried to sell his daughter for girlfriend's bail money.
Mm.
A father in Kingsport, Tennessee, is accused of trying to sell his six-year-old daughter to get money to bond his girlfriend out of jail.
Wow.
Sean Wayne Hughes, 32, has been charged with illegal payments in connection with placement of a child, as well as drug possession. His girlfriend, 27-year-old Jessica April Carey, was arrested March 21st on a charge of child abuse and neglect, according to the Kingsport Times News. Carey's grandmother, who is the great-grandmother of Hughes and Carey's two children, contacted police Wednesday, telling them Hughes sought to guilt her into giving him money to spring Carey from jail. Mm-hmm. Police say while they were at the woman's home, they listened to her conversation with Hughes on his speakerphone. Hughes allegedly told her that if she gave him $1,500, he would sign away custody of his six-year-old daughter. Mind you, not to say any money will be worth a child, but he said $1,500. Keep that in mind. Police say they instructed her to say yes to the offer. When he went to meet her, the cops were waiting to make the bus. They claim Hughes was holding prescription medications as well. Hughes isn't the first to try to swap kids for cash. In 2011, a woman in Washington State was accused of trying to sell her newborn inside of Taco Bell. Remember I told you to keep the $1,500 in mind?
Yeah.
Okay, let's check this one out. To sell her newborn inside Taco Bell for $500.
My God.
That same year, a Delaware mother allegedly attempted to sell her infant child for $15,000 so she could take her two other kids. Remember I told you to keep that money in mind?
Mm-hmm.
She tried to sell her infant child for $15,000 so she could take her other two kids on a trip to Disney World.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely crazy. Our next story here is we have William Gillespie allegedly placed bags of crack on security tray at Erie Courthouse.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I'm here.
Now, okay, I had to close out of this other story here. Okay, a man here tried to enter the Erie Courthouse while carrying more than a dozen bags of crack. This was in Pennsylvania. Crack cocaine he was carrying. Hmm. More than a dozen bags, mind you. According to the Erie Police, 29-year-old William Gillespie was passing through the courthouse metal detector Wednesday morning when he emptied the contents of his pockets into a bowl provided for small metal objects.
Mm-hmm.
And the Erie County Sheriff Deputy suspicious. They were suspicious. And when they observed where he placed a pill bottle in the bowl. Upon further investigation, the deputy discovered the bottle contained not one, but 15 individually packed rocks of cocaine. Gillespie was taken into custody and charged with possession of a controlled substance, intent to deliver, and possession of drug paraphernalia. He remains in jail, and his bond is that same $15,000.
So, this is my thing. Okay. Now, I'm not commending anything, but I'm trying to figure out what, because it's a number of things that could have happened. Either one, he just bought it on his way to the courthouse and he had no place to stash it, so he went in with it and thinking he was okay. Two, maybe he might have been trying to smuggle it in so he can slang it inside. Or he was just, three, just he was just a dope fiend and he just did not think. Regardless, it's, like I always say, it was still demonic. It's still demonic possession because there's no understanding to lean on your own understanding that situation. Like, when I go to the courthouse, did you know I'm not allowed to bring holy oil in the courthouse?
Okay, you know what? Wait, hold that thought because we have a caller on the line. Let's go to our line. Caller, you are on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you doing?
Oh, I am great. How's everybody else? How's everybody's Resurrection Sunday going?
It's going great. We would love for you to announce your name, sir.
I'm sorry. This is Christopher Williams, y'all. How y'all doing?
And please explain to the people who you are because I was thrown off because your name is Christopher Williams, and I'm the older host on the line here. So when you say Christopher Williams, I thought about, don't wake me, I'm dreaming, Christopher Williams.
I'm dreaming, yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't going to say that. I know you.
So enlightened.
I'm yet born again, Holy Ghost dipped in the oil, washed in the redeemed in the blood of the Lamb, gospel artist Christopher Williams.
you gotta give people that raw.
I'm not a dream. I'm the real thing. I'm the real thing. So don't have to wake you up. Just won't be dreaming when you see me.
That's funny. That is,
yeah.
And he's like, oh, we gotta have Christopher Williams on the show. I was like, really?
Yeah.
So, when he said announce your name, we had to do that. And since you did that without any problems, we definitely have to give you our recession-proof gifts. And it wasn't possible. Thanks for calling in on this Resurrection Sunday. Lace is going to be doing an interview. So you can take it over there, Lace.
Definitely. First foremost, it's always in my heart, it's an honor to be speaking with a man of God, another man of God, or a woman of God. So I definitely commend you and I applaud you on the works and services that you're doing for the Lord. I definitely want to say before we go in deep to stay encouraged and to keep pressing. It doesn't even matter if the world is not receiving you. You are doing what God has called you to do, and that is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. So I definitely commend you on that.
Absolutely.
I do have
Thank
a question,
so
though. I usually don't butt in on his interviews because he gets in. But I just want to know, like, what do you do in promoting yourself? You are Christopher Williams, so how do you do that without confusing people, misleading? I mean, you understand what I'm trying to say.
Right, I understand, absolutely.
Myself.
Well, of course, you know, I decided to keep my name when I first decided to, you know, be an independent artist. And sometimes it actually works in my favor. I hate to say it like that, and sometimes it does not. I have a lot of followers, and you know they promote things that I put out. A music video is attached to a lot of other gospel artists, so that they can actually know that you know it's a Christopher Williams that is out there saying doing gospel music, because I know I'm not the only one in the whole wide world who's doing gospel music. And, you know, just in my marketing, you know, I always just make sure I put God first and make sure that everyone actually knows what I stand for and, you know, and just kind of move from there. And it kind of works in my favor that way. That's kind of how it kind of works out. Because I know my name is very common. But
very.
I'm a common. Yeah, it's very common. It's common. But, you know, when I decided to keep it, you know, of course, you know, through prayer, I wanted people to know the real me. And I don't think, you know, changing my name would actually, you know, show them the real me in a certain sense. So I decided to keep that name, and, you know, I just basically market myself as, you know, as a gospel artist and, you know, going and inspiring people, you know, everywhere I go.
Beautiful.
There it is. It's all yours.
All right. So we got a little taste of it, but I like to go do what we call a blind interview. I did not read your bio. I didn't hear your music before. I never met you. I didn't promote you, Twitter, Facebook, nothing. None of that happened. So we want to know,
okay,
who is Christopher Williams? Not the one that you introduced us as, but who is
okay.
this guy? You say, I'm Christopher Williams. It's real. This is who I am. Okay, who is that then? Who are you?
Okay. Well, this Christopher Williams is a Jacksonville, Florida native. Born and raised in a very traditional Baptist family. I currently serve as a worship leader. I've sang with many, many groups in Jacksonville. One of my current groups that I'm currently singing with is the prestigious Meacham L. Clark and True Purpose Choir, one of the most prominent choirs in Jacksonville, Florida right now, and will soon be on the map of the whole world. Praise God for that. I've done inspirational music, I've produced, I've written, like I said, a whole lot of different things. I can just go on and on all day. But my purpose now is just really learning about the music industry and, you know, just connecting with other individuals who, you know, believe in lifting up the name of Jesus. I mean, cause of course, that's really what's important at the end of the day, and having people come to him to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Now I'm the type, I love getting to the nitty gritty. I love getting in dirty. So going into this question, I'm from an urban background, which is very nice, a nice word of saying ghetto, or underprivileged,
right.
Whatever you want to call it.
Right.
And a lot of people, I do a lot of outreaches, and dealing with people, I encounter a lot of people who feel that, yeah, you doing your thing, and God called you, but that don't mean nothing for me. I'm stuck here, kind of thing. I say it all that to say, what is your testimony? What has God delivered you from, saved you from, or brought you from, or brought you through that can make you boldly proclaim the gospel, that's made you boldly proclaim the gospel? Because a lot of people, they seeing you doing your thing, you with this prestigious group and all this and that, but what they got to do with me? I ain't trying to hear what you got to say. So I want you to
absolutely
be dirty, transparent. God has brought me through, and he can do you the same way. So don't look at me as an artist. Look at me as a child of God, and you are a child of God, and God has a calling for you too.
Absolutely. I'll actually just a detail. I started with my
keep it
album
short.
The name of my album. Oh, okay. Excuse me.
No,
right, well,
I said keep it short because I know your testimony is thick. Everybody has a thick testimony. So a lot of times
right.
We had one guest.
Right, it's
going to
be
short.
Uncle
Reese
was on
here. He went,
oh. Yeah, that's my boy. That's what he got. Now he got a testimony. But anyway.
Yeah.
But the name of my upcoming album is Stepping Out. And what I dealt with, of course, you know, being talented and being, as you say, like in a ghetto or urban environment, you know, overly urban or ratchet environment, you know, you can get intimidated and you can get discouraged because people may not receive you or they may not, you know, appreciate your gift or your calling. Stepping Out is the title of that speaks for itself. You know, step out from fear, step out from insecurities, step out from, you know, past hurt and things of that sort. And just do you, do it how God gave it to you. And when you do it how he gave it to you and don't try to be anybody else, he will bless and anoint you to do, you know, what he has called you to do, meaning that he will, you know, have you saving souls and have people looking up to you and you'll be an inspiration to others. My testimony from Stepping Out is that I just was afraid to proclaim the gospel because I was afraid of what people was going to think or what people was going to say, how people was going to judge me, or what have you. But my mother passed away at a very early age. I was at the age of 15, and I had opportunity to do whatever I wanted to do. I had access to the car. I had access to the weed. I had access to, you know, the gambling and shooting the dice and everything I wanted to do. But the Holy Spirit came to me one day. He said, I have something greater for you, so I want you to live for me. And ever since that day, you know, even with having so much, being in the midst of so much temptation, I still heard his voice, and I still, you know, cling to him. So, you know, my testimony is that, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you may have around you, what people may actually say. You know, just listen to that still small voice in you and know that God will lead you in the way that he will have you to go.
Amen. Now, we have a song titled Crazy.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about the song Crazy? And once we get into the song, we will come back to you. So can you brief us on the song Crazy?
Yes, Crazy is inspired by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, how he died in our place for our sins. And it was a crazy thing because nobody would do, I know I wouldn't do it for anybody. I wouldn't lay down my life for a bunch of sinners who wouldn't do right and who wouldn't serve me as I would have them to. So that's what Crazy is inspired by. It's crazy how he looked beyond what we see. It's crazy how his blood, the blood that he shed, it covered all of our needs. It, you know, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Crazy is just what it is. It's a crazy thing, but I'm so glad he did it. I'm so glad he died and that he rose on this wonderful resurrection day.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to go and get into Christopher Williams, Crazy, here on the Covenant Cafe. Never said a word. Light on.
never said one word. Cause Calvary was his destiny. Thorns on his head, pissed on the sign. Because you saw him so much about me. Protector and shield, you gave me a second chance with my mess of mind and my filthy hands. Isn't it crazy how you look beyond what I
question though. I know we're running out of time. Now, when you presented that song and said, hey, I have a song, a gospel song called Crazy, Isn't He Crazy, did you receive any heat from that?
Okay, say that one more time. Did I receive any heat? Mean that, did
no,
I receive
he,
any
people
heat?
People talking negative, like, why would you say, isn't he crazy? Why would you say that? And then did you have to explain the song to people before they can understand what you're getting at?
Right, no. As a matter of fact, it was the total opposite. There was so many people. Okay, I'm going to expand on that. No, okay. It was so many people, different religions. People who were not, were not Christians. They were saying, "Oh, wow, I really get that. You know, it's really hot. I really like that. You know, I can hear myself listening to it over and again, and it's just." I never got any heat about it. I never had to explain it, but usually when I perform it, I always try to explain it just so everybody can take their mind back to Calvary and what he did for us. It just seems so crazy because, I just know I wouldn't have did it. It just seemed like a crazy thing. Why would you die for someone who really doesn't care?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you put yourself on the line for somebody who cares? But he took the fall, just for us, and it's just, my appreciation was just writing that song and just putting it on paper and, just to present it just so everyone can just think about what a crazy thing he did and, we ought to want to live for him doing that crazy thing.
Amen. So you have our attention. You have all of our attention now. Congratulations. I say that to say we want to know, how can we support you? We want to buy your music. We want to follow you on Twitter, Facebook, websites. What do you have? Events. What's going on with you? Where are your links at? Tell us your links and how we can buy your music and support you and follow you so we can make sure that you continue to proclaim the gospel.
Also,
people, if you want to speak to Chris, please call us at 718-766-4553. Again, 718-766-4553. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. Of course, you can go to iTunes.com, and I'm up under Christopher Williams Crazy. I have Crazy on there, and also my second single, In Your Arms, which is a worship song, is on there as well. And, of course, CD Baby, Amazon, and all of your online retailers. Twitter.com is Medulla on it. I'll explain it to y'all later. Medulla on it, M-E-D-U-L-L-A-O-N-I-T, and that's as well as Instagram. Facebook is the Medulla Music page to follow my music page. I'm on ReverbNation.com. And Reverb Nation is Medulla Music page as well. So it's M-E-D-U-L-L-A-P-A-G-E. Medulla Music, M-U-S-I-C-P-A-G-E page. And, of course, you'll see the video, the music video for Crazy, and you'll see all possible upcoming things. Like I said, I'm working on a project, stepping out, will be out really soon. I have a couple things coming out as well. So, and, of course, you can follow me on Facebook, Christopher Williams, Jacksonville, Florida.
Beautiful. Do me a favor and hit me up on Twitter, at Poetic Lace. Chris, just telling
you to
do that, because I might forget to text you later, whatever I was going to do. But definitely, I got a $1 million question for you, then we're going to let you go. People, I'm hoping that you really heard that and definitely support this artist. My $1 million question for you, can you or do you know how to fry chicken?
No.
I feel like you punched me in the stomach.
No.
He knows it's a tragic. It's a tragedy.
Well, you know what? We're going to give him the rowdy crowd for being
honest.
Give
him the crowd anyway.
I'm so embarrassed, but it's cool. That's my next assignment. That's my next assignment that he's preparing me for to be getting that kitchen and working on now. So,
is anybody in your life? Do you have anybody in your life that's capable? Like, that's what's important. Do you have access to chicken now? That's what's important.
Yeah, I call my auntie up. She'll definitely cook the chicken for me. Absolutely.
Oh, all right. Well, at least we hear that you're okay. As long as you're okay.
She's like, no.
Yeah, she absolutely would just whip me up some chicken because she loves me so much, and she would do anything I asked her. She also my personal tailor as well. Like when I have suits and stuff, she tailor my suits for me. She's phenomenal. I love her. Yeah.
Wow. That's my sweet auntie, man. I need to holler at her. For real.
The key word is personal. Personal meaning it's not open to the public.
Excuse me. You know what? I don't want Chris on our show right now. Can we end this? Just real petty, real quick, huh?
Well, I definitely do appreciate y'all. I really do.
Oh, definitely, man. We appreciate you for stopping by. Definitely.
Absolutely.
Keep
definitely.
On your thing, bro. Keep pursuing. Yes, sir.
I'll be back. I'll be back for sure.
We'll definitely be glad to bring you back, bro. All right, be blessed.
Be blessed.
All right, y'all. Y'all be good. Thank you.
All right. There you have it. That was Christopher Williams here on the Covenant Cafe. Not the one I'm dreaming.
This man said personal. I could have got real petty and like, well, you know what? This is my personal show. And you personally get off my hair.
That's funny.
But I ain't petty. I ain't going to be petty.
It's all right. But ladies and gentlemen, we have had a really good show today. I'm always enjoy doing our shows. We enjoy talking to you guys. You know, we had a couple of you to call in and all that good stuff. Some weird news and the rest. But now we have to go. So let's go to the words to live by for the week. What would that be?
And speaking of crazy, this scripture is crazy. Coming from someone who was getting who knew he was getting ready to die for us, this is the words that he left us with, and I definitely would love to share these words with you guys. In John 14, 13 through 17, it says, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He's not saying, "Ask me for a car and I'm going to give it to you." That's not what we're talking about. So, because is your car going to be glorifying God? But that's another story. I'm not going to get into that. But I'm just sharing scripture. Okay.
Okay.
Read that again. "And whatever you ask in my name, that I would do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep. If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Jesus Christ talking. "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." This, what is the helper? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So this is something that I just really want you to receive. When Jesus left, he left us something. Something came and replaced him. And it's, remember when Jesus was in the flesh, it's not enough flesh to go around, because Jesus was, you know, a man. He was all man. He was a God, all God and all man. And when he left, he gave us the Holy Spirit, which is with all of us now. So you had Jesus, the man that was in a region, but you have the Holy Spirit that's with everyone. And the thing about it is this Holy Spirit that's in all of us, this helper that's in all of us, is so powerful, because remember Jesus said, "You would do greater works than me." This Holy Spirit that is in us, it gives us the strength to overcome so much. So during this week, remember that Jesus, if you ask, you will receive. If you knock, he shall open. If you believe, you shall find. If you believe, you can move mountains. And if you seek, you shall find. Ask for that Holy Spirit, because that Holy Spirit is in you, and it will give you the strength to persevere through this week. It will give you the strength and the discernment and the wisdom to do the things that God has set you out to do on your path. This is not a get-rich-quick scheme, but this is being kingdom-minded and being wise in God so that you will have a blessed life.
Mm.
You will go, and you'll be able to persevere through trials and tribulations, and you'll be strong because the Holy Spirit, he that is in us, is greater than he that is of the world. And God just told us who is in us, Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The Spirit is in us. This is God in us. So don't be a pushover. You are stronger than what you think. And enjoy this week.
Yeah. Be a trooper. don't be one of those guys or girls to be like, man, I don't know. You know, some people just seem so unsure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go in some churches, they look all sad, like, "Oh, please pray for me. I'm sick and shut in." You know, some churches are actually depressing, though, because, you know, you go, especially the smaller ones, the country ones, you know, hit the announcements, you think you're going to get birthdays and celebrations, but you get announcements that everybody's ill. Please put them in prayer. Like, "Oh, guys, you guys got to let me go." No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm not explaining, like, you know, like the church is a family matter, so it's, you know, you just walked in on the wrong day.
Yeah, exactly, the wrong day. But ladies and gentlemen, we definitely enjoyed you guys this week. We always enjoy you guys. And actually today, we actually get to play our outro, because we, you know, maybe going to last drop, but today, we're going to be able to play our outro. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Les.
And this is the Covenant Cafe. See you guys next week.
This is the outro. So long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show. Feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host.
From the east to the west, we rockin' coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ, yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live, so I'm steady boastin'. I think that costs for cheers, so I'm steady toastin'. What's up, D Slade? That's the CEO. He's tapping on the glass, I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by, hope to see you next week.